Majesties, Royal Highness, Excellencies, ladies and gentlemen. It is a great honor to be the after party of Professor Grattan and Professor Bursin. Thank you very much for your appealing speeches about turbulent times, because we are in a time of great changes. Several crises and problems are piling up, and you address them. Governments have to enforce inclusive and sustainable solutions for climate change, digitalization, social or economic downfall. Yet, we also experience complex and old bureaucratic systems stand sometimes in our way. Policy implementation lags behind. And in the meantime, we will be confronted with more transitions, as for example on biodiversity and water. Global markets do not automatically enforce just transition. And businesses have to become more sustainable, but also struggle to survive due to the COVID and energy crisis. Low and middle income households, especially practically schooled, also struggle, often due to temporary and insecure jobs. And civil society faces the daily rush and high expectations of individuals having to be successful in all aspects of life. Youngsters face severe psychological and social pressures due to that. On the average, the Dutch still have a high quality of life and a low unemployment rate. But polarization grows, and the fear of falling has become reality for many. The Dutch historically sought cooperation and compromising between government, market, and civil society to tackle our big societal and economic challenges. So can this so-called Dutch polder model of consultation between employers, employees, and government still withstand the rapid changes and crises we are experiencing? Of course, consultation takes time and mutual respect dialogue. Can this Dutch way of deliberation and modeling through be the Dutch miracle as it has proven before? The proof of the pudding, I think, is whether today's bus driver will still have work in the future. How healthcare professionals will connect to robots, whether artificial intelligence take over jobs in services like law and accountancy, and whether no one is left behind. This touches our social contract, the written and unwritten expectations that citizens and businesses have from their governments and the other way around, on the basis of rules, rights, duties, and tradition. It's about the mutual dependencies between employers, labor unions, and government in creating and sharing prosperity fairly by income policies, quality of work, access to pensions, healthcare, social security. But it has also got to do with fair chances for sustainable entrepreneurship. Our current social contract no longer provides enough future perspective for too many professions and businesses, I would like to state. We have to adapt quicker to the future of work. And together with you, I want to search for some appropriate answers. Because we already saw before dinner, the future of work is an urgent social and economic issue. The major transitions mentioned are causing or have the potential to cause disruptions with far-reaching consequences for the importance and place of work in our society and economy. They are resulting in major shifts in employment between sectors and in the quality and organization of work. We also saw that. Increased flexibilization, platform economy, and intensification illustrate major changes in the speed and nature of work. But what we do know, based on research, is that those transitions already cause social divisions and polarization between those who see and get the opportunities on the one hand, mostly academically schooled, was also in the debate at our table in the dinner, and those mostly professionally trained and less educated who fear the future, have less access to retraining, and face twice as often job insecurity or fear that the next generation will be worse off. I already said joblessness is low in the Netherlands, but the amount of flexible and insecure jobs is high. Also, more than half of the 2.5 million physically and mentally limited people lack jobs. And for people with migrant background, job security is almost three times less. Women still get less chances and income compared to men in several sectors. Discrimination and stereotyping hinder inclusion. This social inequality adds to the existing societal discontent at this moment, especially among groups with higher job insecurity. It stresses that our social contract gets stuck without appropriate action focused on the future of work in the private as well as public sectors. And next to good intentions and current government policy to tackle these issues, a certain sluggishness, inertia even, is seen in implementing reforms in practice. A certain impotence and reticence to act. I think we need to work more urgently together to resolve these implementation problems. And let me explore what this means for the future of work. I think work mirrors the society we are and will be. We need a realistic picture of what is important to people, employer and employee, across all aspects of their daily lives. Of what kind of meaningful and developing and connecting role work can play in this regard, keeping in mind that working is learning, caring, living, and recreation all together, interlinked in people's daily lives, especially due to new technological innovations. And this asks for rethinking social challenges and approach them in an integrated way, based on the concept of broad prosperity for all. Across boundaries of sectors, policy domains, ministerial domains, so working is also about learning and caring. Housing is also about work. Energy policies are also about work. So this touches the roles and responsibilities we all have in our polder model. A balance is needed between the self-organizing capacity of individuals, self-regulation of parties, for example, as we know, the collective bargaining agreements between employers and employees, and mandatory laws and regulations from government. But next to employers and employees, other partners like environmental NGOs and the younger generation also have to be represented in an inclusive strategy towards sustainable growth and future work. And my predecessor at the Social Economic Council, Mariette Hamer, who is also here in the audience, has already included those groups successfully in our polder model. But I think more will be needed in the coming years. So, to what informed choices for the future of work and for our labor market system does this analysis lead? First, I will mention four issues. First, permanent concern is needed for appealing, meaningful work that offers people prospects and enables them to fulfill all those roles in life, in society, in a balanced way. As formulated by our Scientific Council for Government Policy, good work is defined by three conditions. Financial security, money, control over work, autonomy, development, interaction with colleagues, friendship, as our colleague said before dinner, and it is about control over life, being able to combine work with other tasks. All of this raises the question of what kind of economy we want to live in what kind of work is part of our future. I think we had to set the goal at the horizon, what kind of economy and society we want to be. And what kind of work, also my former organization, the Netherlands Institute for Social Research, stresses this continuously. Secondly, connecting and intertwining work and learning, as well as caring, during the different stages of life is needed. Lifelong development is essential to acquiring and maintaining the ability to adapt to transitions and sometimes abrupt changes. We also discussed before dinner in the lecture of Professor Gretton the crafting part. People have also all kinds of things they learn in other areas than school or work. So do we value the capabilities people really have? Do we value the skills people have? And that's part of lifelong learning. A good safety net and an appropriate set of supportive and proactive services helps people to change jobs with confidence and can help entrepreneurs start new businesses. Third, achieving a better equilibrium regarding the number of Dutch people on permanent contracts and those on flexible contracts. I think that is needed. Job insecurity causes less social security, limited access to lifelong learning and affordable houses. So we must seek a future-proof balance between protection, security, and on the one hand, and promoting entrepreneurship, growth in earning capacity and internal flexibility on the other hand. And fourth, there are too many people nowadays struggling to make ends meet due to limited access to the labor market and even while in work, the working poor, but also the small businesses, the MKB, who really tries to survive in the current crisis. So work, as well as entrepreneurship, should be valued properly in payments, as well as people's skills should do in job vacancies. Now, I realize that these four issues, perhaps how said, are not new or have been dragging on for a long time, and yet the Social Economic Council's medium-term recommendation on the labor market addresses this issue, and our current government also made it the basis for their government program. And that is great. But, ladies and gentlemen, future work moves faster than politics. And my question for today and for the discussion with you would be, can we see and use game changers to accelerate these kind of issues, to accelerate change? I think we should think about real game changers, think and act the impossible. Like during the COVID crisis, boosting the transition towards hybrid working. Working flexibly in terms of time and location has in some parts of our economy become more commonplace. Yet, it's also about fairness. So who really can work at home? Who has the opportunities to work at home? And who misses the social contact in the working floor? So it's also a matter of balancing. But the COVID crisis is a game changer. And next to that, existing and upcoming shortages in our labor market also force us to rethink the organization of work, how we deploy people, and how we make choices. This is also about a comprehensive and accessible system of childcare, another attitude towards part-time work, working more hours and getting paid accordingly, permitting the entry of migrant workers, enforcing substantial and quicker progress towards diversity and inclusion. And yes, ladies and gentlemen, statutory targets for more cultural diversity, as well as quota on gender, can be game changers in fighting unequal opportunities. The current energy crisis and the need to tackle climate change also force us to think urgently about other forms of economic activity, about the pressing need to step up recruitment in the technology sector, and about the energy transition. And this will also provide opportunities for new work, such as green jobs. And here I would like to mention another predecessor as president of the Social Economic Council, Wiebe Dreyer, who helped to bring about the 2014 Agreement on Energy, the predecessor of our climate agreements. I think there should be no taboo, such as perhaps, and I didn't touch this with my colleagues within the SER, so I take my time and my space here, such as perhaps a new tax system with a new balance in taxing labor and capital. Simpler for entrepreneurs and companies, and a basic income perhaps for all, real investments in prevention of labor related to other diseases, and why not, since I'm standing here, activate the military duty for 18-year-old men and women, broadening up to social duty. Stimulating the working force, stimulating entrepreneurship, stimulating citizenship and good work as real game changers. Not only in fighting wealth inequalities, but also enforcing productivity. And I think a real game changer would also be committed political cooperation for long-term policies. Fragmented and polarized politics, combined with a lack of effective policy implementation, hinder the adaptation to future needs. But in helping government, also sociologists, ecologists, creative thinkers, and economists have to cooperate more in order to really understand all transitions and to really go beyond GDP. And we need more representation of less heard groups as well, such as the younger generation. Their insights are not nice to know, they are needed nationally, but also on EU and global level. We need committed politics and new governance systems. So my conclusion is that work, the future of work, is key to our future social contract. And history shows that big societal and economic transitions, such as from the farmer society to the Industrial Revolution, force us to create new perspectives on good work, good entrepreneurship, social security, and education in order to fight polarization and to enforce prosperity for all. And this is that this is our moment. This is that moment in our time, requiring new citizenship, new entrepreneurship, and new government. A new social contract should have future of work as key element, and that requires out-of-the-box thinking. Our challenge is ensuring that no one is left behind, that people who were or already are at a disadvantage can be pulled back in. It asks courage to prioritize groups. What kind of solidarity connected to future work and business, care, lifelong learning is required? At what price and for whom? We have to talk about just transition, and that can only be based in sustainable and inclusive entrepreneurship and a trustworthy government guiding us with long-term vision on the economy and society. Yes, we need to do this together, and the bus driver's job and healthcare services will change. But shouldn't we also value human contact? And if so, this has a price, and it should influence political, entrepreneurial, and daily life choices about good work today. The Dutch Polder model seeks for support for difficult choices concerning our future work by consultation and cooperation instead of fighting each other's interests all the time. For me, the work of the Social Economic Council is a matter of civilized coexistence, with respect for democratic political processes and decision-making. But in view of the speed of changes, I do feel the urgency to find game changers for good work. Perhaps a little bit like the UN Secretary General Guterres last week asked us to do on climate change. But today, I hope we not only share this feeling, but really act on it now. Thank you.